Hi, I'm Emerson.
And I'm Turlove. Welcome to Red Square. Every other week, we find people making their way across, you guessed it, Red Square, and ask them some deep questions.
We think that stranger stories matter, and by hearing them, we can all come away with a little more awareness of the complexities of being human. Hey guys, it's been a while. We hope you're doing well during this time.
Right now, we are sitting in our living room instead of in the recording studio. We haven't been on campus conducting interviews the past few weeks, so we have decided to make an episode compiling some old interviews that we did last quarter when we were still in school.
We hope that these stories about positivity and happiness can bring you a little bit of happiness too.
So we've included about 8 stories. They're all only a few minutes long, so it's a little bit different than our previous format, but we thought it would be a nice little uplifting way to come back.
We hope you enjoy. We miss seeing you guys.
I think the biggest thing I like about myself is my intense drive to just be a positive person, which is something that I've definitely worked on a lot and was not necessarily a natural thing. And that has sort of got me through different decisions as far as education goes, trying different things, and just making the best out of situations that I think a lot of people would have called unfortunate situations or not enjoyable or any of these other things that I personally still found things and gained things from. I think this lets me get the most out of my time, which is sort of something I think about a lot. Well, ever since I was a wee lad, my mom and my brother and I we've been talking about deep emotional things since I was really young. And so it's always been sort of an ideal to be positive and be happy, and knowing that you don't have to be happy all the time to necessarily take things positively or have a positive outlook. But the real challenge is just interpreting things in a way that is okay for you and you'll be okay with. And I always ask myself, is it the circumstances in a day that make a day good, or is it my interpretation of them? And I think the interpretation is what you mostly have power over. And so that, as far as developing it goes, it's just thinking, taking something and really questioning if that was a bad experience, what about it made you feel away, or why couldn't it be a good thing that happened?
One time last year, and I was in a class with one of my friends, and she was really stressed out because she had a lot of work to do, and she just started crying in the middle of the class, and I was very embarrassed for her, and she came over to me, and I hugged her, and it made me very sad, because I don't like it when my friends are sad. And the next day, it was a very, spontaneous, dumb, I didn't think about it a lot, but I just, bought her a cupcake, and I brought it to her in class, and it just made her very happy, and I had no idea what an impact I would have on her from this dumb small little thing that I did. And then recently I talked to her a year later, and she started talking about this cupcake that I bought her a year ago, and she was talking about what a big impact it had on her and how it made her so happy. And now we go to different colleges, and she started doing the same thing for her friends. When they were sad, she went and bought candy for one of her friends when they were really stressed out about her test. And I don't know, it just made me feel so powerful, because it's the really small things that you do can have such a big impact on people, and then they spread it to the rest of the world, and all the little kind things that you do matter.
Everything in life would be to think about the future sometimes. So, you know how you do everything every day, you think about everything you've done in the past, but you kind of don't spend enough time to actually like write your future down. You just go with the flow and you know, stuff happens, but you have like a general idea of what you want in life. And for me, it's kids. Like when you have like a daughter or like a son, you have like somebody to put all of your stress on. Be like, oh, I don't want to do it for myself, but I have to do it for my kid. And yeah, family is important to me, cause mainly because I'm not with my family at this point. I'm an international student, so they're back home. Yeah. But it feels weird to be away from family, but at the same time, be like super close to them because I've shared like 19 years of my life with them. There's a lot of things that I could have done better, and it's not like my parents are fucking ignorant or something, but I feel like it's something that everyone has in their minds, at the back of their heads, you know, like you could have done this thing better or that. And I just want to see, you know, my kid be like happier than I was back in the day, and just that feeling of like heading through life and, you know, making things better, not for yourself, but like for somebody else. That's one of my favorite things in life. When my parents dropped me off over here, they cried, but I don't understand like what that meant, you know, because I did not cry. I was like, okay, it's just part of life, you know, like it just makes me feel, you know, like privileged that somebody feels this way about me, even though I'm not like capable of feeling the same way about them. And that was really special to me, to, you know, like see someone like super close to me like be sad over like, no, he's going away, but also be proud at the same time, be happy.
About myself is just that like I go out there and do really weird stuff that I don't think anybody else really does. So like, for example, I like feeding the squirrels and crows in the park by the hub, and no, it's really nice. So like now when I walk around campus, like the crows will like fly down and follow me, and like as soon as I walk into that park, even if I'm just going there to like relax,
that's
the,
why
the small
the
birds
squirrels
yeah.
are so
insistent.
Yes.
Yeah. They run up to me, they like jump on my legs, and I'm like, here you go.
Wow.
And then the tiny birds, actually. You know, like the little chickadees?
Yeah.
Fly right into your hand. Eat like bird seed out of it. So,
you're like Snow White.
Yeah, exactly. It makes me feel like so at peace and one with nature. It's like the best way to relax after classes. Mm-hmm. So like that's my. And also I get some like funny looks whenever people see me just like out there like this, you know, hand outstretched for a bird. So I mean, it's always a struggle to, like, put away the, like, thoughts of, like, what will people think of me. But then the way I justify it to myself is, like, well, if I walked by and saw someone doing what I'm doing, then I wouldn't, like, care. I'd be like, damn, that's kind of cool, though. So, like, that's, you know, it's all about being the person that you want yourself to be in whatever way possible. So whenever I, like, am, like, should I do this? I'm, like, if I heard or saw someone doing this, would I think, oh, like, that's a cool person? And I'm like, yeah, you know what, I'm gonna do that. So, yeah.
As you can see, I have a stutter. I basically had my stutter for like as long as I could remember.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, with a stutter, and like I was the only one between my family and my friends who had a stutter. I did not feel understood.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, my parents would always tell me just like practice practice breathing techniques, and then the stutter will go away.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it did not go away. So like they used to make it so easy, but like it wasn't that easy.
Mm-hmm.
So I get like, I put on a mask, and up until like the beginning of this year, I used to allow my stutter to stop me from doing things. So basically, like in class, I would never raise my hand to answer a question, even though I know the answer.
Yeah.
But like, I don't want to stutter in front of people.
Yeah.
So I allowed it to stop me, and I was kind of ashamed, like, from my stutter. But then like, I started to think about it in a different way. I realized that like, it could empower me, and I should not allow it to stop me from doing what I want and trying to get my message across. So now my goal is like in class, like you're with me in the comparative politics class, and like I'm trying to answer as many questions as I can. Like I'm trying to not allow it to stop me from doing what I want. In the beginning of this year, like I wanted to let more people in, so I've never actually talked about my stutter with my friends or with my family. Mm-hmm. So like in the beginning of this year, I wanted to change that, and I actually started to talk with them about it and like tell them how it makes me feel, how I like to be treated, like if I'm having a stutter moment. And all I saw from them was like support. Mm-hmm. and like even now, like I tried to give a presentation about my stutter to like a couple of people, and then my friends actually attended the presentation and like supported me, so I'm thankful for that. It was nice to talk about it. Like it was nice because like it was like a part that I've always been hiding, but then mm-hmm. this time I actually was like wearing it on my sleeves, yeah, putting it out there and putting myself out there and like realizing that it's okay to be vulnerable, because I used to think that being vulnerable was not a good thing, and like I should keep like a wall around me and not let people in.
So what first comes to your mind when you think about love?
For me, the first thing that comes to mind is just the love of life. That's something that I wasn't able to fully experience until recently. I know that sounds like vague or like, you know, how could you not love life? But at least like at the state of mind that I was in before, I couldn't get up in the morning and then actually have any sense of purpose or will or motivation. I was like on the brink of just like losing my life, like ending it completely, just because I was so like severely depressed. And like at the time I was going through like some severe like PTSD, and like it's really, really overwhelming to look at, you know, all the things that you don't like about yourself or you don't like about your life or like where you want to be and compare yourself to that. But honestly, as long as you keep comparing yourself, you're going to stay stuck. And so it takes like a little bit of action, a little bit of something every single day that'll just compile and compound over the course of time. And it sucks, and it takes a lot of mental energy, and it feels super repetitive. But now I can like get up in the morning and like actually go to class.
So now you're at this point where like you're appreciating things about life more and like able to see it in like a clearer lens, it sounds like. What are your favorite parts about your life?
I had dinner with a friend last night, and I was like, oh my God, this food is like amazing. Like I'm enjoying our time so much. Honestly, it's like really the little things for me, you know, getting up and going to class and like learning something new, or like going to the gym, like getting stronger. Like that's what really makes it.
Can you think of examples of like something that's happened like today?
Anything today? I'm wearing these new leggings that I got, so I mean, I'm pretty happy about that. I like appreciate them.
Thanks for joining us today on Red Square. If you have a story of your own that you want to share, feel free to email us at uwredsquare@gmail.com or find us on Red Square in real life.
We hope you enjoyed listening.